Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. So glad that you tuned into the program. I'm proclaiming a message: you don't have to stay stuck. If you feel that you're addicted or you have a habitual sin or maybe just a bad habit, a character flaw of some sort where you just feel stuck, I want to tell you that you can move forward. You don't have to stay stuck. I want to share with you the Word of God. This comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians. He says, "Therefore, as you have always obeyed in my presence, even more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For God is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And that's something that I really want you to get a hold of. God is at work in you. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So, wanted to tell you a little bit about what they're saying. Somebody said, it's like New Year's Day. And who was it that said that? People on a cruise? No, liquor store owners during the pandemic. They said it's like New Year's Day because everybody was coming in. Liquor stores were deemed an essential business because legislators felt that people that had to get alcohol, they didn't want them to get frantic or have nervous breakdowns. So they were deemed an essential business and they were having all kinds of sales. Somebody said this is like a perfect storm. All the tensions and difficulties and afflictions of the pandemic and people wanting to escape it. So those who do the statistics are telling us that addictions rose and are rising during the pandemic in amazing proportions. They're just going right up. Drinking, drugging, gambling online since casinos were closed, pornography, all these things have increased monumentally because of the pandemic and during the pandemic. So I want to just say that even though you may be going through some difficult times and you may be participating in addictions, you don't have to stay stuck. You can move forward. The World Health Organization estimates that 2.5 million deaths worldwide because of addictions. And 1 out of 8 of these are addicted to alcohol. So I get emails every once in a while and from people that are asking me about addictions or praying for family members who are addicted. And they say things like, "Father Cedric, so-and-so, my daughter, my son, or maybe myself, were addicted to a substance. Would you pray that God would deliver me?" And I kind of smile at that because God can deliver in a sovereign act. He can simply speak the word and you will be delivered, but that's not usually how God works. What God does is he strengthens you to face your problem, to look at the addiction, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. God will empower you, he will love you, he will help you, but he won't deliver you normally. So what has to happen is, first of all, you have to admit that you have an addiction. You have to realize that God is at work in you, wanting to purify you, to help you, and to grow. So even if you are addicted, or if you have a bad habit or a recurring sin, you can overcome it. And the principles of AA will help you. This program is all about moving forward. It's all about coming out of a difficult place where you feel stuck. I think it's the lie of the devil that tries to make you think that you can't move, that you're always going to be the same, that you're always going to have this addiction, that you're just going to be stuck or going backwards. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The truth is that millions at this very moment are in recovery. They're embracing sobriety. people everywhere who thought that they couldn't change, with God's help, they are changing. You can move forward. You can change. So this is a very positive program. And if you are struggling with something or an area in your life where you feel stuck, I want to assure you that God is working in you right now to help you to move forward. You can do it. I want to help you. I want to encourage you. And just wanted you to know that I wrote a book, my most recent book, my 24th book, and it's about addictions. It's called There Is a Solution. That comes right from the big book of AA. There is a solution. And it's about addictions and recovery. And in this book, I talk about how to come to recovery and what it looks like, and that if you're stuck in an addiction or a bad habit, or if you're stuck in a habitual sin, that you don't have to stay stuck. You can move forward. I talk about codependency. Some of you have family members that are addicted. You're in Al-Anon, or even if you're not in Al-Anon, for spouses and family members of alcoholics, you can still help people, pray for people, and you can break free of the codependency. You can not have to be having your emotions stuck on that person. When they're down, you're down. When they're up, you're up. And that's codependency. You're like a puppet on a string, manipulated by those in whom you are in relationship that have the addiction. So, want to help you to move forward. And when I was a seminarian, I was stationed at Holy Name Retreat Center in Houston. This is way back when, probably about 35 years ago. That was my first assignment, even before I was ordained. They wanted to give me a taste of ministry. And I lived there for a year at our retreat center in Houston. And I was introduced to the 12-step program there. I'm not in the 12-step program, but I did some ministry in the 12-step program because we are a Mecca for Alcoholics Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous. They all come and they meet every day there, some of the programs do. And we have retreats for these different program members. Well, I was introduced to the 12-step program and I noticed something about people that are addicted. Addictions are no respecter of persons. White people, black people, Asians, Hispanics, all ethnicities are affected. I looked at the cars in the parking lot, Mercedes-Benz, Lincolns. There was rich cars and there were poor cars, clunkers, Fords. So it cuts across all economic boundaries. So when it comes to addictions, every person is susceptible, some more so than others. And AA and the 12-step program, I want you to know, is a spiritual program. It's not affiliated with any church per se. It's independent, but it's a program of recovery that is spiritual. It has to do with God. God is foundational to the program. And a lot of the people that get into the program, into the 12-step program, they grew up in churches and they fell away. Or other people didn't know God, and they came to know God through the program. And other people knew God, got addicted, and reestablished their relationship with God. So whatever category you fall into, atheistic, agnostic, a believer, if you're addicted, if you're struggling with something, you need God's help. And that's the foundation of the 12-step program. So what is an addiction? Many definitions for this, but basically, an addiction is a craving. It's an irresistible urge. It's this appetite that we all have within us, but it's directed towards something. And you're addicted when you can't stop the craving or the irresistible urge or that appetite towards something, toward drinking or overeating. Could be toward drugs, it could be toward pornography, toward gambling. It's this urge that happens over and over again that you can't stop. That's called being unmanageable. And that's one of the signs that you're addicted, that you have an urge that is unmanageable. You may be able to stop it for a little while, for even a month or two, but it keeps coming back such that You don't have control over it. And in order to get control, you have to lose control. Lose control to God. So it has a grip on you. And eventually you succumb to it. And that's how you know that you're addicted. It's this irresistible urge. And it feels like you're in quicksand. The more you struggle to try to get out, the deeper you get into it. You try and you try and you try. You work so hard to get out. You fight. You talk to yourself. You try to do whatever you need. And it just doesn't work. You can't seem to shake it. Your life is unmanageable. But I'm here to tell you that there is a solution. There is a solution that has helped millions and millions of people. And that solution is the 12-step program. And in order for it to work, you don't just learn about it, you just don't read about it, you got to work it. That's why I read that reading from Paul's letter to the Philippians where he said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So in a faith life with Jesus, as we follow Jesus, there's work to it. You got to work it out. You got to follow him. You got to be a disciple. And then he said, for God is at work in you. So what it is it's a cooperation. You agree with and embrace God's working in you, and you do your part, and God will do his part. And it's the same way in a recovery from an addiction. You have to work the 12 steps. It becomes a lifestyle. You can't, as I said, just read about it, and you can't just learn about it. You have to really work it. It becomes a lifestyle. So I wanted to tell you that when you're working the steps, it goes in sequence in the beginning, and then they all kind of meld together. And let me just talk about a couple of the steps, because I really want to help you to get unstuck. And again, this works not just for addictions to a substance like alcohol or drugs or pornography or gambling or whatever. It works for sins and bad habits that you may have where you just feel mired and stuck and you keep doing the same thing over and over again. Well, how do you get out of it? How do you get out of the quicksand? Well, the first step is that you admit that you have a problem. And I know that sounds like a no-brainer, but some people will never come to admit that they have a problem. They've got the problem. Maybe it's an anger problem, but they're just not in touch with their emotions. They won't admit it. Sometimes other people have to tell you you have a problem. That's called an intervention. They intervene in your life and try to help you. That's kind of what I'm doing right now. I'm intervening. I'm confronting you with the fact that you need to admit. Prideful people will not admit that they have a problem. It takes humility. And sometimes it takes a bottoming out for you to admit that you have a problem. How deep do you have to go before you will admit that you do have an addiction? Sometimes it takes a blackout. It might take a fight. It might take an embarrassing situation where you say something publicly in front of somebody because you're drunk. Whatever it is, whatever it takes, admit that you have a problem. So admitting that you have the problem is half of the first step, but the other half of the first step is not only do you have a problem, you have to admit that you are powerless over the problem, over the drinking, over the pornography, that no matter how hard you try, you don't have the ability to help yourself. You may make some efforts forward, but then you always go backwards. So until you admit that you don't have the ability to get better on your own, then you're just going to stay stuck. It's when you admit that you have a problem and that you are powerless over it, then God can work with you. You know, when it comes to powerlessness, that's not such a bad thing. Paul had to admit that he was powerless. Remember, he had a thorn in the flesh, and God dealt with him and said, Paul, it's in your weakness that my power is perfected. So sometimes it's in the weaknesses, the powerlessness of life. And when you think about it, we're powerless over a number of things. We're just trying to get in touch with what real life is. We're powerless, for example, over our birth. Nobody decided when they were going to be born, where they were going to be born, if they were going to be born male or female. So we're powerless over that, or to whom we were going to be born. We didn't even give ourselves our own names. We were powerless over that. What is life teaching us? Life is teaching us, folks, that we may have some control over some things, but it's illusory. It's an illusion. The bottom line is that we don't have control over life. We are not in control. That's why we need to make a surrender to God, because the bottom line is folks, we're all going to die. We are not in control. If you have an addiction, that's what it's teaching you. It's teaching you not only that you're not in control, but you better find the one who is in control before it's too late. So powerlessness, not such a bad thing. I've found out that sometimes I'm preaching and I feel like I'm just bombing up there and I'm doing terrible. But God works through my weaknesses. And sometimes the most powerful things that happen in people's hearts are when I'm the weakest and I feel the least power. I don't feel anything, yet God is working through me. We are the vessels, we're the instruments. So get in touch with, number one, that you've got a problem, and number two, that you're powerless. Once you admit it, once you admit you have a problem, that you're powerless, could be a habit, a sin, could be an addiction, then you turn to the one who's got the power. You see, the second step is believing in God who will help you. God has the power. I had a man come to me one time. He was like over 80 years old. Goes to church. Used to go to church, he said. And he said, Father, for all these years I went to church, but I doubted the presence of God. He wanted me to help him. He said, help me. He says, you're a priest. You're a believer. I've been to church all these years. I doubt God. I doubt that God exists. And I looked at him and I said, well, doubt is just a negativity. Why don't you just doubt your doubts? Maybe two wrongs don't make a right, but maybe two negatives will make a positive. Who knows? And so maybe you have some doubts toward God. Doubt your doubts. Doubt your negativity. What is faith? It begins with a decision. You simply decide to believe that God truly is. Give God a little room to work in your life. Simply believe that God is, and God will work through your faith, your desire to believe, and your faith will grow. It will get bigger and bigger. It will open a door for God's power to work. Remember what I said? Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to cooperate with God. And the way that you cooperate with God is simply, this first step is by believing. And as you believe that God exists, that God has the power to help you, and that God cares for you and will help you, things will happen. God will supernaturally pull you out of that quagmire and help you. In Catholic terminology, this is called sanctification. This is called growth. This is called purification. So that's the second step. Once you admit you have a problem, and you must admit you have a problem, you've got to confront your problems, because unconfronted problems will never get better. Humility is a major factor in the 12 steps. You must humble yourself, and that's what bottoming out is all about. It brings you humility. And once you humble yourself and admit it, and admit you're powerless, then you turn to the one who's got the power, and that certainly is God. All you have to do is go to the Rocky Mountains, or go to the ocean, or look up at the stars. God is the one who created all this, and God is the one who created you and me. 7.8 billion people on the face of the planet. And it's not by happenstance. It's not because of a big bang. It's because God intentionally did that. And the God who intentionally spawned the universe will intentionally help you with his power. He created you and he loves you. So faith is believing, making that decision to believe that God is, that God has the power, and that God will help you. And once you do that, then this is the third step. First step, you admit you have a problem, you're powerless. Second step, God's got the power, you believe in him. Third step, it's not hard. You make a decision to turn over your will and your life to the care of God. And this is so crucial. Maybe you grew up in a family where God was harsh and punishing, or a religion that God was harsh and punishing. You must understand that God is for you, not against you. And even if you've had mortal sin, even if you have character flaws, even if you have bad habits, even if you have a shameful addiction, a sexual addiction, whatever it is, God cares for you. You might be thinking, well, how does God care for me? He created you. You are unique. You are loved. He created you from nothing. He has providentially protected you and brought you to this moment in time. He has a plan for your life and a beautiful future for you. I love that from the prophet Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for your welfare and not your woe. And God knows how to write straight with crooked lines. Maybe the crooked line of your addiction will lead to his plan for your life. And even if you mess up plan A, B, C, and D, God has other plans for you. You can muck up a bunch of plans, but God has an infinite number of plans to get you where he wants you to go and to bring you to eternal life. And that's some of the good news about the 12-step program. People that have fallen away from God, people that have burnt out on religion, they come back to God. And they receive eternal life, they receive salvation because of their addiction, through the addiction. Only God can redeem lives like that. Only God can bring such good out of evil. So you must believe and make a surrender that God cares for you. And he does care for you. The truth is that you are loved unconditionally, no matter what you've done wrong, passionately, affectionately, tenderly. And I stand as a witness to God's love. God's love has changed my life, continues to revolutionize my life. And the 12-step program simply tries to put you in touch with God's love and receive the power to come into recovery. And just to let you know, the 12-step program is for all people, but if you want a 12-step program that is specifically Jesus-centered, it's called Celebrate Recovery. And it was started at the Saddleback Church in California. Many tens of thousands have come into recovery through Celebrate Recovery in the 12-step program. So there are options out there for you, but I want you to make a surrender. This is key in the spiritual life, surrendering to God. You just simply come to God in prayer and you say, Lord, what I've tried to do hasn't worked. I want to do it your way. I believe in you. I surrender to you. I want you to work in me. And God will take that prayer and he will help you. So surrender is key. Turn your life and your will over to the care of God. Or as it says in the Bible, cast your cares on God because God cares for you. It's a play on words. The 11th step, let's jump to that. We've talked about step 1, 2, and 3. The 11th step is really crucial. The 11th step is about prayer. In order to come into recovery and stay in recovery, you have to stay connected with God because God and his power, his help is crucial in getting you to stay into recovery and to overcome your addiction, come to sobriety. So you must stay connected. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And he said, stay connected to me, abide in me, and you will bear much fruit. The fruit that we're talking about in this case is sobriety, is recovery. So stay connected with God in prayer. You can do it. People come to me in the confessional and they'll confess, Father, I have an addiction. And I said, well, you've done the first step. You've admitted that you have it. And I'll absolve them and they are forgiven. The sacrament of confession is miraculous because of forgiveness, but it's not magical. It doesn't just take the addiction away. And what I tell them is get into a 12-step program, go to a meeting, many meetings, or go to a 12-step counselor. Talk it out. Don't just rely on yourself. That's the problem. People keep falling when they rely upon their own power. So I am praying that in the name of Jesus, you will face your issues, admit what you have to admit, that you will realize that you're powerless, you will turn yourself over to the one who's got the power, you will believe in his care and love for you, you will stay connected with him, and I'm knowing and I'm believing that you are not only going to come into recovery, but you are going to develop your relationship with God too. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizzegna. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.